Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
New Jerusalem is the consummation of the divine revelation in the Bible. But how practical is it to you? If it's something that's far away from your daily experience, then you'll especially want to stay with us today for this life study of Revelation. And Bob Danker has joined us for it. Bob, welcome back to the broadcast.
Chris, it's good to join you again, especially on this wonderful subject of the New Jerusalem.
Bob, we're talking today about the New Jerusalem in particularly 2 aspects, the gates and the street. 1 street in this city, Bob, but many gates.
That's right, Chris. In the picture of the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, we can see that there are actually 12 gates into this city, 3 gates on each of 4 sides. And that means that the city is available to all men from the 4 corners of the earth. So anyone can enter into this city. And yet when you get into this city, you find there's only 1 street. That means there is only 1 unique way for you to walk and live in this city.
Bob, before we go to Witness Lee today, and we have some very short portions, not the best quality tape, but we've selected portions that we think are clear and make a good point. Before we get to that, I think we should touch again, we've mentioned before, this is not a physical city, is it, Bob?
That's right, Chris. Actually, the New Jerusalem is a sign. In the book of Revelation, as we pointed out in other broadcasts, the entire book is made up of a series of signs, which are symbols with spiritual significance. So the New Jerusalem also is a sign, and it really has a spiritual significance. The New Jerusalem is not a physical city. It is an organic divine building, which actually is the mingling of the triune God with all his chosen, redeemed, regenerated, transformed, and glorified people. This is the New Jerusalem.
So all of these things, when we today particularly talking about these 2 things, the gates are of pearl, the street is of gold. These are signs that give us real windows into their actual significance, aren't they?
Yes, these signs show us something heavenly, divine, and spiritual, yet something very practical, something that we can apply in our daily Christian life and something that we can experience today so that we will actually become this wonderful city that is presented to us at the conclusion of the Bible, the New Jerusalem.
I think that's a good point to emphasize as we begin today. The New Jerusalem is not something that is just simply our destiny, but all of these elements have a practical, real application and can and should be part of the normal, daily, everyday experience of all the believers.
That's right, Chris. God's desire is that we would experience in our daily Christian life all the various aspects of the New Jerusalem so that we will actually become this city.
Let's join Witness Lee, Bob.
Suppose this building doesn't have any gates, no exits, no entrances, and no streets. How about this? This might be only good for exhibition, for people to come here and look at it. Beautiful. But no one can get in. It is altogether not practical. Have you noticed in Brother Nee's books, whatever he ministers, any point, he always gives you the way. And this is a special character of Brother Nee's ministry. Whatever he ministers, whatever he serves to you, he always gives you a clear view of the way to get it. Many, many people talk about Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, but regardless how much they talk, they didn't give people the way to get in. But if you read normal Christian life, my, the more you read it, the more you see the gates there. The ways are so definite. I did see some gold ministries. But eventually, after I appreciated for a certain period of time, I wanted to get in. I couldn't find a way. That is just a good building in the air for people to look at. It is not practical for people to get in. Whatever we minister it in a practical way. You do have a way to get into what the ministry affords. The New Jerusalem is practical. Practical in the gates and in the street. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody from every direction on this whole earth could get into this wonderful building. So you see the practicality of the gates and the street.
Well, Bob, praise the Lord for the practical entrance into God's building. I think everyone familiar with this ministry would agree about its practical effect of bringing us into the truths of the Bible that we talk about. The pearl gates that Witness Lee has described as the practical entrance into God's building signify a lot. We touched in principle a moment ago that the pearl has a real significance. I'd like to take a moment now, but just to discuss the pearl. Originally, the pearl begins with a grain of sand or a piece of a shell wounding an oyster. And the oyster secretes a life juice around this offending item until the end result is something precious. This is the symbol, Bob, of the gates of the New Jerusalem. There's a lot of meaning here. I'd like you to develop this for us.
Yes, Chris, this sign of the pearl gates is extremely wonderful and significant. I was just considering that it is very meaningful that a pearl is used to show us the way to enter into the New Jerusalem. Not any other sign was used by God, but a pearl. And as you pointed out, a pearl is produced in a very excellent way. An oyster, a living sea animal, is living there in the sea. And in the Bible, the sea symbolizes the world which is full of death and which is the place where sinners like us are living. So Christ, who is symbolized by the oyster, came into this world of death to live among sinful and fallen men. Then, at the end of his life, this Christ was crucified. This is signified by a small grain of sand or a piece of shell, as you were pointing out, entering into this oyster and wounding the oyster with its sharp corners. This is a picture of Christ dying on the cross. He was wounded by us, the sinners. We are those grains of sand. Those common yet worthless grains of sand that wounded him on the cross. Every one of us crucified the Lord. He died for our sins. He died for us, the sinners, on our behalf.
Right.
So we are the ones who wounded him. And then this little grain of sand, after it wounds the oyster, it remains in the place of the wound. So it's lodged there. It's held there. And then the oyster responds by secreting a substance, a living substance, around this little grain of sand. And I saw a picture once of a pearl in an encyclopedia. It was cut in half, and I could see many, many concentric rings of this substance, which I think is called the mother of pearl, which is secreted by the oyster. That shows us a beautiful picture that a pearl is built up by layer upon layer of this wonderful life substance, life element, life juice secreted by this living oyster that is secreted layer by layer around this grain of sand to build up until this grain of sand becomes a precious and priceless pearl. This is a sign or a symbol showing us something spiritual and how we can become a part of the New Jerusalem and how we can enter into the New Jerusalem. How can we enter the New Jerusalem? Well, first of all, we need to acknowledge that we are the ones who crucified Christ and he died for our sins. Then we need to repent and believe in Christ and even into Christ so that we enter into him and we remain in him. While we are in him, he will impart his resurrection life into us little by little. First, at our regeneration, at the time that we're born again, he secretes his resurrection life into us, and we are reborn, we are regenerated, and that is our entrance into the new Jerusalem. Then, as we abide in him and remain in his death at the place where he was wounded on the cross, this is, of course, a spiritual experience. It's not something physical. Then he imparts more and more of his life into us to transform us little by little from a worthless grain of sand to a precious and priceless pearl. And this is the way that we enter into this wonderful holy city and actually become a part of the New Jerusalem. We ourselves become pearls.
This is another good graphic picture, Bob, of a spiritual reality that's hard to convey just in talking in terms of doctrine. But these pictures that are open to us in this ministry, they're just invaluable, aren't they?
They're absolutely invaluable, and I love them.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking there about the experience of the pearl. When the Lord shines his light, we often become aware of our own sharp corners and edges and how easy it is for us to wound not just the Lord, but almost everyone we come in contact with. There's a tendency always, I think, to try to file off our own sharp edges, but the Lord has another way, doesn't he?
Chris, he has a marvelous way, and that is to hold us in himself and keep us at the place of his death. Then he secretes his resurrection life into us, making us a marvelous pearl.
Well, let's go on to our next section. We're going to look now at the street of the New Jerusalem, another practical example for us, because not only is the gate a practical entrance, but the street represents a practical way in which we can walk. Let's go back to Witness Lee. I want to alert our listeners. This is a very short section, actually less than a minute, so it's not one of those that has a long warm-up. Please pay attention right from the get-go. Here's Witness Lee.
In the Bible, always, you have to enter the gate first, then you walk on the street. Firstly, we have to enter into grace, then we walk in grace. Not to walk first, then you will be qualified to get the grace. Grace is free. The gates are free. Once you get in, you have to walk. There is a long way. We have to walk on the street.
Well, Bob, a short section, but there's a good point here that I think you can develop. After we get through the gate, after we have an entrance, then we have to walk on the street. But our walking could never qualify us for salvation. We can't earn that. It's a gift. God's salvation is free. We can't earn it by our walk, can we?
That's right, Chris. Some would try to tell us that first we have to work for our salvation, then we will earn salvation. But of course, this is absolutely contrary to the Bible's revelation. Actually, salvation is free. There's nothing we can do to earn it. So God's grace, which saves us, is something that is free, something that we receive through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So first we receive God's grace, which saves us. Then after receiving this grace, then we begin to walk in the Christian life. So this picture of the New Jerusalem shows this very, very well. First, you enter the gate, then you walk on the golden street. This is the way of God in his salvation. First, we receive his grace. We experience the imparting of life, which saves us and begins to make us this pearl that we talked about earlier. Then, having entered the gate, then we begin to walk on the way. And we see in this marvelous picture of the New Jerusalem that the way is unique. There's only one way for all the saved ones to walk, and that way is illustrated or portrayed in the street of gold that is in the New Jerusalem.
Bob, why only one street?
Well, there are not many ways for us to live. There's only one God. There's only one divine economy. There's only one salvation. There's only one way. There's a unique way. First of all, to be saved by grace, not by any kind of works, but by grace. And then after we are saved, we all need to walk in the same way so that we can reach the same destination. In the New Jerusalem, the street comes out of the throne, mm-hmm. and it reaches all the 12 gates. When we enter in through the gates, we get on the one street. Mm-hmm. Then we walk on that street until we reach the one destination, which is God himself on the throne. So there's only one way to reach one destination.
Well, we want to go back and stay on this golden street and see its practical application in this coming section.
Now, the gate is pearl. Now, what is the street? Gold. It is so meaningful. As we have seen, gold signifies God's nature. After we enter into the new city, we are working on the divine nature. God's divine nature is our street. God's divine nature is our way. Suppose you sisters would come to me, brotherly, oh, I love the Lord. I should like to love in the New Jerusalem. Would you please tell me how could I know what kind of way I should take to dress myself? What color I should take? What design? What shape? And so forth. I have no way according to human talk, but I have a way. According to divine revelation, that is God's divine nature. You go to make a style of your hair according to the divine nature within you. That is your street. What color you should take, what material you should buy, what style, what design, it all has to be according to the goal within you, according to divine nature within you. The divine nature that's in you is your way. It's your street. You have to walk in that street. You shouldn't say, we are not regulated, or we are regulated. Regulation is not the way. Our way today is the divine nature. Don't you have the goal within you? Just work on that. We all have the divine nature. We all have the heavenly divine goal within us. Is your talking according to divine life or according to what? Surely according to muddy life. Not the divine life. Not according to God, but you are walking in a marsh according to muddy thing. So by this we all have to see our way is not regulated by any kind of regulation. Our way today is just the divine nature. We are working in the divine nature. The divine nature of God is our state.
Bob, this is a tremendous point, very practical. We're talking about the golden street. And of course, we know in Scripture, gold signifies the divine nature. He touched a lot of examples here that are very, very good, because it's easy to fall into the trap of regulating or trying to regulate ourselves by some sort of external standard or what we think the Bible is instructing us. Really, we have another regulation within, don't we?
Yes, Chris. Actually, it's impossible for us to find in the Bible a kind of regulation or rule for every aspect of our daily life.
Right.
The Bible simply doesn't contain such regulations for us. But the Bible contains a wonderful revelation that shows us that we who have been born of God have received God's life and God's very nature. And this nature, as you pointed out, is symbolized by gold in the Bible. So we have God's life and God's nature within us. And, you know, every nature has its own taste. We can use an illustration of a small baby. If you feed a small baby something bitter, put it in his mouth, he will spit it out because his human nature doesn't like bitter taste. But if you put something sweet in his mouth, he will receive it because his human nature is according to or corresponds with the sweet taste. This corresponds to his human nature. Well, we have the divine nature. How should we live? How should we think? How should we speak? How should we do everything in our daily life, like combing our hair, styling our hair, dressing ourselves? What kind of food should we eat? Where should we go? What should we do? The myriads of things that make up our daily life, How can we know the way to walk? Well, this way that's shown to us in the New Jerusalem is marvelous and practical. We simply need to be everything and do everything according to this inward divine nature that we have received. If we do anything or say anything that is contrary to this divine nature, we should experience a bitter feeling in the innermost part of our being. I'm talking about our spirit.
Right.
Today, Christ, who is our life, is now in our spirit. If we exercise our spirit to contact Him, then we will have a divine sense or a divine taste that shows us what is pleasing to this divine nature and what is unpleasant to this divine nature. And I can testify from my experience that it's absolutely not a matter of rules and regulations. This divine nature governs us and regulates us spontaneously in everything that we do. We just need to be willing to live and walk according to the divine nature that we have received from God. That means we have to exercise our spirit all the time to contact this living person who lives in our spirit, who is our life, and who has this divine nature. You know, this divine nature is just Christ Himself, just God Himself in our spirit. So when we say things that are not pleasant to this one who lives in us, then we have a bitter taste within. Then we should stop speaking. If we even you think a certain way that's unpleasant to this divine nature within you, you should stop thinking that way. If you think about going someplace, or if you're going someplace and you have a bitter feeling deep in your being, you should not go there. That's against the divine nature. This is the way we Christians should walk.
Yeah, there's a point that comes when our taste doesn't line up with the divine taste that's within us, and then the time comes to make the decision, right?
That's right. Witness Lee mentioned the muddy taste.
Right.
These two natures that are within us, our muddy human nature and our golden divine nature, have different tastes.
Bob, the big topic of the New Jerusalem, it really occupies these last days of our life study of the book of Revelation. Each one, each of these programs, I think, is full of light, shining, and we hope something practical and applicable to the daily experience of all those who listen.
We need to apply this vision of the New Jerusalem to our practical daily life.
If we do, we're sure to be there.
We're sure to be there, and we're sure to become this wonderful holy city.
Thank you, Brother Bob, for your fellowship again, and we'll have you back before we wrap up this book of Revelation.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Chris.
That's it for today. In terms of time, I want to point out the myriad of resources that we have, not just on the topic of the New Jerusalem and all its aspects. Really, the whole book of Revelation is opened up in a tremendous way in the 4-volume set of the Life Study of Revelation. And in addition, we have, I just mentioned to you the chart that we offered a few weeks ago as we were getting into the sequences of the timing of the events. And this chart that we have made available to our listeners is called The Chart of the 70 Weeks and the Coming of Christ with the rapture of the saints, all of those things brought together in one graphical environment, and all of the references are there. This is really a tremendous aid for your own study in this book of Revelation. We hope you'll join us again as we continue on this life study of the book of Revelation. For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.